me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. We have a lot of fights to cover. A great Saturday night of fights, Sadong and Sanhagen. And we have, our friend. I guess we can call him a friend. He's been on once, but he was a fun guest.
I like him. I like him a lot. The schmo. Schmo, Jimmy.
Yes, we should bring
him. We're going to bring him right in. Before the end of the show, I want you to make sure that you come and get your love.
Okay, I thought you were going to explain to me.
Come and get your love.
Explain to me why the new Game of Thrones show is not good.
Oh, wait, hold on. First of all, I was singing from the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 soundtrack. A lot of like 70s. And it's good. It's good to have in the background when you're strangling your buddies at Sarah BJJ. I have it blasting all the time. But what was the question again?
I was just saying that. About the new Game of Thrones and how the characters are not that great. And I don't like the writing.
You're joking. Are you joking?
No, it's not that good. I'm on episode 5. I'm giving it a chance.
I only watched the very beginning of the last night's episode. And it already started fucking crazy. Like, I mean, I'm unsure how much one second I like the Uncle Daemon, you know, Targaryen. And then one second I think he's a fucking creep. And well, they're a little pedo. Listen. I was watching, Jimmy, well, let's get the schmo in and we'll see if he watches House of Dragons.
Hey, schmo, can you hear us?
Schmo can hear you.
Hey, buddy. Jim. How are you?
How are you, schmo?
Hey, the schmo can't complain. Another beautiful day, still alive, still kicking, breathing air. It's Monday, baby.
Do you watch, we were just talking before you came in, and we don't know what shows or pop culture. Do you watch the new Game of Thrones on HBO?
I don't. Schmo's got no time to watch TV these days.
No time. You got zero time at the end of the night. You and Helen Esports. That's what she goes by on Instagram, right? Yep.
ADCC yesterday and Sunday night football. There's too much going on.
Well, listen, the football, whatever. But that ADCC, what about Gordon? Gordon Ryan is... That's like really, Jimmy, I know you don't follow submission grappling.
I was aware of it happening, but I didn't watch it.
Well, Gordon Ryan, he's a pupil under the great John Danaher, is a very good friend of mine. And the guy is phenomenal. I mean, he's like the Michael Jordan of the jiu-jitsu, of no-gi jiu-jitsu. Because in no-gi, it's unprecedented what he's doing. It's insane. It's insane what he's doing. Like, yeah, just yesterday, and the schmo will tell you better than me, he was there. The guy competes in his division, clears out his division, all submissions but one, and goes on to a super fight with arguably the most decorated no-gi grappler before him, Andre Galval, and submits him. It's downright freaky. Schmo, can you just add to that real quick, and then we'll talk about some fights?
Love the comparison. He's like the Michael Jordan of grappling no gi. This guy does whatever he wants. He predicts a win. He gets the win. He's just head over heels about the competition. He goes out there and goes and does seminars. He puts his content online, but he knows he's still that much more ahead of the game where he could put whatever he wants online. He'll still toy with you. He'll still get the victory. Three victories, three different weight classes yesterday. The super fight. It's just, this guy's on a different level.
I seen his semifinals match with Nick Rodriguez. Now, Nick Rodriguez is known as the black belt slayer or killer or something like that. One or the other.
That's a great nickname to have.
Oh, well, because he was doing that, like, it's like a brown belt and like a purple. I don't know. Cause he got a wrestling background, and I don't even know about how great a wrestling background he has. I know, but he's a beast. He's an athletic freak. And when you're going with a guy in no-gi, and I know from experience, when they're so slippery and they want to just survive, it can be annoying. They can almost like play with you a little bit and pull away. And the fact that Like he picked up his, like Gordon gave him his leg. He took it, threw him down. Gordon just goes with it. And then just simply did a check his base into an Ashigarami, into a heel hook. It was just like, it's crazy. I can't even explain how, what we're witnessing, because we haven't seen anything like this before in the sport. Wow. You know, I'm not over it. Am I overselling this, Schmo, or am I?
Not at all. And listen, this thing took place at the Thomas and Mack, and the Schmo does NBA Summer League games that are over there. There was a more lively audience there than when the Los Angeles Lakers are playing. The crowd gets it. They're all about it. And he sells to the crowd. And Gordon is a star. He really is.
How old is he?
27.
I think. Wow. He's a young guy. Okay.
And he plays the heel a little bit, Jimmy. Like he's good, but he's like, like he's the thing's coming up. He's like, next week, everybody's fucked. Like, he's just funny. He's like, I'm going to kill every, and he does. He backs it up.
Does he have any MMA inclination or any I desire to do MMA?
Schmo, do you want to take that one?
Well, he was signed with ONE Championship. I don't think he's still with them to this day. There were hints at him doing mixed martial arts. He's battled with some stomach issues over the year. I don't think he's going. The longer this thing drags out, he's in his late 20s. I mean, who knows? Never say never, but we thought we were going to see him a year or two ago. Still haven't seen him yet. Why leave when you're the Michael Jordan in your specific discipline?
That is true. There's no motive to get out of there if you're doing as well as he's doing. Okay, that makes sense.
Not to mention, the guy is going to make a ton of money without ever taking a punch. You know what I mean? So that's a plus. You know, it really is. But hey, man, so congrats to him. And I enjoyed it. What's the name of those, your young brothers? One, they're both 18. I don't know if they're twins. The Rotolo brothers? Well, I don't want to fuck it up. They're from Atos.
Right.
They did. One of them won, and one of them beat Felipe Pena in the Absolute. Do you know the name or no?
I think it's Rotolo, brother. I don't want to mix it up, too. I don't want to look bad, Mr.
Schmo, you were there. You missed House of Dragons. You're the fucking reporter. What's there? I don't know. I figured you would know.
Schmo is busy.
Schmo, you were busy at the event.
Everywhere. I was at the event. I was mingling. I was networking. I was watching. I was doing football. I was everywhere. And I had done Canelo Triple G. We had UFC Vegas 60. It was a loaded week. The Schmo did the trifecta.
Can I ask you a question, Schmo, about the because I like Gennady Golovkin, and I thought it was the first Canelo Triple G fight where there was a woman, one of the judges gave such an abysmal butchering of the obvious score. Was this third one? They said he won a unanimous decision. Did he win decisively? Because I hate boxing for that reason.
Yes, Canelo won decisively. Listen, Canelo could have done more. I mean, Triple G, a lot of people are saying this is like the retirement fight. This should be his last fight. And listen, he's pushing 40 years old, and he did not put him away. Canelo won decisively. It was a unanimous decision. Maybe Triple G won one or two rounds, if that. I'd give that to him. But Canelo should have put him away, and he didn't.
How about the second fight? Because Golovkin has lost two fights. Were they both to Canelo?
Yes.
One draw and two losses. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think the draw should have been a win for Golovkin.
I'm sorry. Fuck the. I know. Don't we have MMA to talk about?
Yeah, I know. But, you know,
what's about next? Boxing? Jimmy, let me put my sword away. That was uncalled. Rude. It was rude to do that if it was just me and you. And we have a guest, our friend Schmo. So that was even ruder.
And you were talking about grappling, which is not UFC. So I was talking about boxing, both forms of the same art.
Combat, when you're wrong, you're wrong. Combat sports, you're right. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Anyway,
let's talk about Ernie Shavers. All right, no, we don't. RIP Ernie Shavers. How tough is Song Yadong? Congratulations to Corey Sandhagen, but Yadong, man, he's some guys lose and they don't lose an ounce of interest in watching them fight. And he lost. It was a doctor stoppage. So just a great, great fight.
Listen, his stock did not go down iota. And Corey Sandhagen, I love the fact that he was adding in the shots. So some people might look at that and say, well, the shots aren't effective. He's not getting them down. Maybe he should. It keeps them guessing. And when you're thinking of a shot, you're thinking of a punch, you're not thinking of a fucking elbow that ends up winning you the fight. That, I mean, dude, that's, I'll tell you, not since Kenny Florian have we seen such sharp fucking, dude, dull as fuck my elbows. Dull. Yeah. Dull, Jimmy. Like a bad comedian. I don't know.
Did you think that they were going to stop it after the, like, between, after the third? I thought that I was surprised he made it as far as he did. They did a great job of keeping that. I think it was like 2 minutes into the round before it started actually bleeding again. But by the time they stopped it, you're like, yeah, that like his eye could be damaged.
Well, I think the RoboCop fight, what happened to Gregory Rodriguez, that's what prolonged everything from stopping too soon, because Gregory Rodriguez, obviously he had the cut and he came from behind. He got the victory.
That's right.
To the point of shooting, listen, Song Yadong's takedown defense. I'm not saying Corey Sanhagen's the world beater when it comes to wrestling and everything, but he was 0-for-8 on those takedowns. Song Yadong was great at crowding the space, but credit Corey Sanhagen for using those limbs, using those elbows, and getting creative, because you always ask what happens when you crowd a space. Remember when Aljo took his back and submitted him in 88 seconds? He got in his space. Corey Sanhagen's, that is. Corey Sanhagen with the adjustment, using his elbows. He's been working with Ryan Hall in this camp too with the jiu-jitsu. It was a great performance by both. Very crafty for Corey Sanhagen, but he did what he's supposed to do. It was number four fighting number 10. He got the job done.
I'm always, too, very impressed when a guy who is more known for striking is able to keep a grappler off him. Like, I always find that really impressive, because it just seems like such a nightmare. And it's like you look at, you know, again, an extreme example is Holland against, you know, Khamzat. Like, there's no way you want a guy that good on the ground on top of you. And when you can keep someone pretty much off of you for that length of time, it's always I'm always impressed when a striker can do that.
I enjoyed the fight. I really wanted to see what would happen in that final round, man. And Corey was good on the stool. He was like reassuring himself. He's like, all right, I got 5 more minutes. And he's very like, he, you know, he's very strategic, you know, and he was staying the course. He knew how tough Song Yadong, you know, was and is, but, and when they stopped it, how about this? When they stopped it, a lot of times you'll see fighters like, yeah, celebrate because they know they won. Shit, I would. But you literally saw Corey drop to his, oh, man. Like he wanted to best them. He wanted to best them for all 5 rounds and try to get him out of there. And he was literally upset that the thing was over. So I thought that was very interesting. You don't see that often. Right, Schmo?
You don't see that often, but Corey Sanhagen knows he's at the top, and at the top is the cream of the crop. He's had the wars with TJ Dillashaw, the Pewter Jans, Aljamain Sterling, obviously didn't go the distance with, but he knows when you get to the upper echelon of talent, when you're in those championship rounds, you're going to want as much experience as you can get. And he, being a true martial artist, wanted to win this thing, in his eyes, the right way. Not from a stoppage from a doctor or from a referee. He wanted to finish and go to the cards or get the decision or just stop him with his own two hands. And this is where we're at.
Hey, do you ever like, because you do the voice so much, does it ever come out like when you're being intimate with your girlfriend and stuff? Hey, here's the schmo. It's time to go. Do you ever get like freaky like that? Or does she say, oh, cut the shit. Don't bring him out. It's not a threesome. But does she say, no, B, come on, Dave, cut it out. Get the glasses off. Put them on the nightstand. Or do you have the glasses on by the nightstand? Sorry, Jimmy, what do you want to?
Or is the schmo the deal closer? It might be that women like the schmo so much.
He's got a girlfriend.
I know. I'm attracted to her to him. She might love the schmo.
Talk to us, schmo.
All the world and all of you people seen is just the schmo. We haven't seen the other characters I've developed, the other pairs of glasses and spectacles laying around here. Who knows how freaky this guy can really get when he's not the schmo or himself. Secret.
What's one of the other characters? Do you have a name for another one?
Yes. You want me to give that away right off the bat?
What is that one? What is
the character?
Magomed Shariapov.
Who is that gentleman?
I got to go for different regions of the world. You know, you got to spice things up a little bit.
You want a fan base everywhere and you want to have relatable characters everywhere. That's smart, actually.
Those are big circular frames. No lenses for that character.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy was thinking about a character with the big like shades, but instead of like with a nose attached like a dildo and like, yeah, fuck it. Jimmy,
I don't believe in chin dildos. There is something called a chin dildo, which I've never taken part in any way, shape, or form. I think they're a little creepy.
A chin dildo. Why? Why on the chin? I'm starting to imagine.
Nature's way of humiliating a sub and making it's almost like when you put a fresh batch of cookies in front of somebody, they can't have it. You tie the sub up and they strap chin dildo and they do their thing on it, and the sub just has to you stay there and not touch.
You're making the schmo uncomfortable.
You asked me.
The schmo literally. We consider him a friend of the show.
I love this schmo.
This might be the last time we see him. Don't bring up the chin dildo again. Schmo, we apologize.
It's okay. It's okay.
You're
We'll live. We'll live. Chin dildos.
Schmo, let me tell you, you like to use comedy in your like interviewing style. And were you a fan of comedy? Are you a fan of comedy?
100%. We grew up outside of Chicago. The Chicago Second City legends, the John Belushis, the Chris Farleys, the Mike Myers. Love the comedy stuff. Love it.
Well, listen, that guy's a fucking serial killer. Oh, the last one. I've been watching Halloween a lot. Mike Myers? Who are you talking about?
Austin Powers.
Ah, the killer. Yeah. We had a Halloween marathon, me and my kids. You know why? There's not too much sex in it compared to the ones.
The new ones are terrible, by the way. The new ones are terrible.
Oh, do you know what? I'm going to watch them because everything that Jimmy says is terrible is usually pretty.
Evil dies good. Tonight. Wait, watch him. You'll hate him. Have you seen Spo?
No. I want to watch the one that's H2O. Which one? The 20 years later one?
That's awful.
Is that good? Probably. I thought that Jamie Lee Curtis lives on like a ranch. Hey, Schmo, do you have anything against movies? Or you
love movies? I love movies. I love scary movies. I love the original Halloweens. I love that.
You do like those. So you are a Michael. So you like Michael Myers, Austin Powers. You like? I know why you like him out of all the people, because he's a fucking big disguise guy.
Yes, fat bastard. Come on, Wayne's World. He's a big disguise guy.
Wayne's World was great. I hate that. Don't you? Do you guys think? When a sequel comes out, it affects the how you feel about the
if it's perception of the original.
Yes. Do you feel that, or do you just kind of like forget it, you know, get it out of your mind, kind of like Godfather 3?
That was the best one. What do you think, Schmo?
Depends on the cinematography and the storyline. It completely depends. I mean, are we talking about Rocky? Are we talking about Rocky 5? Everyone forgets about Rocky 5, but Rocky 3 was great. Rocky 4 was arguably the best one. It just depends.
Rocky 4?
I didn't like that. The speech. And we feel like if we can be good to use. Yeah, I didn't like his speech in Russia.
How cringe is it when fucking the fighters try to do that? And they do that in the thing. They do that Rocky thing where they're like, anytime they quote that thing, when they do that, that one time I think it was, and I like Nate, not Nate Diaz, obviously. I love Nate Diaz. Nate, fuck, he's a nice guy. But he was in Canada and he's like, hey, he did the thing. If I could change it, the audience is cheering. And I'm just like, I'm turning red. I go, oh, God, I'm turning red for you, man. Stop. Stop. Boo. Boo. I felt like being on the Princess Bride with that old lady. Boo. Dude, come up with your own shit, you hack. Hey, we all like Rocky. I get it. Let's get back to some MMA business here. We like to have a good time, Schmo. Let your hair down. Okay.
Yeah.
So Jimmy threw me for a loop with the whole chin strap thing. But let's talk about Chidi versus Gregory Rodriguez. He was on our show, Chidi, the other day.
Yes, he was. And
I want to know. I know he has like five first round. I want to know. He has like five first round finishes, or is that somebody else? I don't know.
It was him. I don't think he's done a lot of damage in the second round. I think so.
Has he ever seen the second round, though? That's another thing. How many times has he been to the second round?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know? I mean, because I'll tell you, you go 0 to 100 real quick. I mean, he went from putting it on Gregory RoboCop Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yo, this is a punch away, especially when he split him. He split him with Gregory. You saw what happened when Gregory got on top of when Gregory Rodriguez got on top of Chidi.
Yeah,
you saw what happened. So when he tried to do that early and he got split by that knee, that's enough to discourage most people, you know, most tough guys, when you can see your skull. But man, I don't know if he's calling fucking RoboCop with a fucking Terminator, because he wasn't stopping. He wasn't stopping even with that fucking thing.
Was it a knee that split his head?
Yes.
Yes.
A knee or a kick? I think it was a knee. It was definitely a knee.
What was the fight? Was it the Corey fight? Where I love that Keith Peterson actually told the judges, was it accidental head strike? You know, he always sounds like he's just stumbling out of a bar at 3 a.m. I fucking love him. But he's such a great ref. Was that the fight where he made sure to tell the judges that it was a head strike and not damage inflicted in the fight?
That's interesting.
Does anybody remember which fight that was? It might have been Song Yadong. I just don't remember.
Might have been me versus Chris Lytle. Look at this. You see this fucking 50? I got a vagina on my head, Jimmy, in the first round. I didn't tap. I didn't say uncle. You know what I mean? Anyway, Schmo, I like to go down memory lane sometimes. And when I do, Jimmy usually does that. Look, he looks up notes and stuff.
I'm not sure if it was the Gomes Luke Boonmi fight. What fight was it where Keith Peterson went and told the judges that it was an accident? I just love that he did that, so they did not think it was from the fight.
I don't know, Jimmy, and it's going to bother you. Don't get me wrong.
No, it's going to drive me nuts.
Let it bother you until the producers find out.
Someone behind the scenes maybe could have that. If it's a weird one moment.
Guys, can we get back to the RoboCop fight in 1 second? But I want to bring up a fight that's really, it's on my mind, because I'm happy for my good friend Dean Thomas, and he's the coach of Jillian Robinson. And when she took out Mariah Agapova, right? How'd I say that, Schmo? Okay,
Agapova. Mariah Agapova, correct. That's perfect.
First of all, Mariah, I'm sorry, did I say it right?
You're right, yeah.
Agapova is Jillian did have, she had to go through the fire to get a hold of this girl, man. The strikes that Agapova was doing up against the cage alone is enough to just make somebody say, okay, this is a rough day in the office. Maybe I should just pull guard or something. Jillian was being creative with her takedowns, and she was staying the course. She was staying the course. And even between rounds, after that first round, which showed some, again, creative ways of Jillian trying to get that fight to the floor, and even though she was being persistent, she took damage. She took damage and lost that round because up against that cage, she's tall, she's lanky, Agapova, and she was using, even at close range, maximum efficiency with those strikes from elbows and hammer fists, you name it, hard to get put down. But between the first and second round, you heard the coaches go to Jillian, look, basically stay the course. Stay the course. You got to, and then, you know, add in some feints. And she did it. She got her down. When it was over, Agapova, the warrior that she is, it was two people that actually went to sleep tonight, Saturday night, because they did not want to tap. And it's not that I recommend that. I don't. But they know if they get out, they could still win. That's what's going through their head. There's other fighters. I don't want to mention them. Conor McGregor. They listen, man. They get their throat in a lock. They tapped out. They do. It was
a neck crank, wasn't it? Or he wasn't even his neck. Wasn't he just cracking his face when Conor tapped? Maybe not to Nate.
It'll break the jaw and then eventually get on the carotid. But the fact is, this girl almost bit a fucking tongue off. All right? This girl wasn't tapping. This girl went to sleep. Now, that's the worst that could happen. I mean, the girl could have bit her tongue. The girl, it wasn't a pretty look. You know?
Who was the other one, Matt, who went to sleep? Do you remember?
Yes, I do. It was versus, let me look at the card, unless our producers get it first.
That was Hernandez against Barrio.
Wait, who was it again? It was
arm triangle submission. Hernandez against Barrio.
Fluffy Hernandez.
Yes, yes. Three.
Oh, was that the fight?
That was it. And I'm trying to
arm triangle.
Yeah, but where is it on the card, guys? I'm sorry.
It's on the main card. It looks like it's the opening fight of the main card. I could be incorrect.
I think so. Da, 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 da. Opening fight of the main card.
Sorry, guys. I found it. I'm a little slow.
Okay, yeah, it's the first one.
Man. Anthony, they used to call him Fluffy, and they still do. Fluffy Hernandez, because maybe he's a little chubby. He's not chubby anymore. He's in fucking great shape. And he looked phenomenal, man. And that arm triangle was beautiful. But again, man, Marc Andre, man, he was like, nah, dude, no, let me take a nap before you take my manhood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Fuck. There's Julian, people talking, there's people that talk.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Julian Robertson, she have the most submission victories in UFC flyweight history. I mean, she's, and then Mariah Agapova, I think that's the kryptonite for her too, is you get her, you're able to submit her. I mean, because if you could withstand the barrage and her striking, you can grab her. That's what happened in her last fight. She was submitted in that one as well. But Julian, she withstood the fire. She got her back, and it was a thing of beauty. When she sinks it in and she gets you, there's no letting go for her. I believe she's got the most submission victories in the history of that division.
She does. She does. And she's growing still. She's only 27. But let's say that Agapova is only 25. And to say that she wasn't in that fight is ridiculous. She was in that fight, man. That first round was such hell that when you watch when the fight was finally over and Jillian put her to sleep, didn't tap her out. Let's say that right. She put her to sleep. Jillian, I don't know if she said fuck or yeah. She was on her knees and just was like, woof. Like she between rounds, she had like a hematobium. What do you call this shit?
Hematobium.
Fuck, yeah. Jimmy's a prick.
What? Hematobium.
Schmo.
Hematoba.
Hematoma.
What is it? Hematoma?
Hematoma would be. Hematoba.
Listen, Herb Dean, was it Herb Dean, the ref? They would even say, whoever the ref was saying, watch that the next round. Like, you have to watch. The doc was saying, first of all, hey, the doctor could play a little bit. He could be a little softy with the girls, huh? She got a bump in her arm.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, look, could you see me? Do you want to continue? The other guy, you could see his skull. And he's just like, I think he could walk it off. Really?
Song Yadong, literally, they had. I was glad. I'm very rarely glad they stop a fight. When I saw his eye in that fourth, I'm like, they got to stop it. Like, he's really, it's dangerous.
It was getting bigger and bigger, too. And bigger, it was right over the eye. It looked
scary.
What a show of heart, man. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I was gonna say, what do you think is next for, because the bantamweight division is so amazing? Obviously, Aljo, Piotr is number one, TJ, Marab, Corey, Marlon Vera. Like, who does Corey fight next?
Well, it's interesting because you got to wait for the winner of what happens in Abu Dhabi between Piotr Jan and Sugar Sean O'Malley. Because of Sugar Sean O'Malley's stardom, if he could win, and let's say he gets some sort of spectacular fashion victory and upset Piotr Jan, the schmo doesn't see how the UFC doesn't fast track him for a title shot. Yes, that type of craze, because of his popularity, and if he could outstrike Piotr, if he could put him to sleep, he could do something in spectacular fashion to catch people off by surprise, that might make sense for him. I can see Corey Sandhagen fighting a Marlon Chito Vera, or a Piotr Jan, a rematch, if he just, depending on how he beats, if he beats Sugar Sean O'Malley. But the point is, you got to wait to what happens in UFC 280 in Abu Dhabi before we play matchmaker for what's next.
Do you think, Matt, because Marab is so close with Aljo, do you think, knowing that those guys won't fight each other, like one would have to switch divisions, does that go into the matchmaker's thinking at all? Like, hey, we want to look, we're looking for title contenders, but no matter how good Marab does, he won't fight Aljo, or Aljo won't fight him. Does that go into a matchmaker's mind when they're looking at who to match up? Because I think fucking Marab against Chito would be amazing. I mean, I would love to see that.
I mean, that those are the two names that he said Chito. I know he said Marab, but he said Chito also, didn't he?
Yeah, I would love to see Chito and Marab.
Didn't Corey say he can say that? Didn't he say those two?
Yeah, I believe.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, as far as the matchmakers with that, I don't think he came to that point yet. As far as with, well, Marab's got to fight Aljo, you know. I mean, you know, and still, that it hasn't come to that point where that's gonna, I think, make a major,
okay,
impact. Unless, you know, they both just keep winning and then whatever, you know. But it's, they're still not gonna fight. Either one of those, they're both interesting fights. You know, one's more of a striking match, and the other one's more of him trying to keep Marab off him for five rounds, which would be, either would be entertaining as heck. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes I clean up my,
yes, entertaining as heck.
Now listen,
Engels,
I have a, confession to make. Oh, and no. It's a little embarrassing.
No.
A little bit.
Oh no.
Sometimes I catch up on fights when I don't watch the day before or whatever. So, you know, this morning I taught my 7 a.m. jiu-jitsu class. It was not almost 30 people on the mat. A lot of fun. I did a drop Sayanagi, and we'll talk about that later. But then I got home. I took a little nap. And then I catch up after I shave my head. I'm on the toilet, and I set up my iPad. I just want to give you the scene. Like, I have my coffee, and I got my thingy, and I'm watching some of the fights. And this is what happened. This is the scene, guys. I want you to picture this. Damon Jackson, right, who lost his brother on
Tuesday,
lost his brother, along with his sister, would go and watch him fight and support him his whole career.
Yeah.
So he still fought. Now, he's an underdog. He's fighting Pat Sabatini.
Was, I think, 4-0 in the UFC at that point, right? Pat was, I think,
4-0. 4-0.
Yep.
Like a crazy prospect where people are like, yo, this guy's going to be a contender. I mean, 4-0 in that division is not easy. And he comes from the famous Philly Daniel Brunson team that are, I believe they were undefeated in the UFC up until maybe this fight. That's a stat we got
to
check.
Front kick to the face. And, dude, he got him to verbally tap, which I didn't hear the first time through. Did you hear it the first time through that it was a verbal tap?
No, I heard that. No, I didn't. I heard it on the
replay. And also, Bruce Buffer confirmed it.
You know, Sabatini was on a 6-fight win streak.
Yeah.
Okay. So listen, so I'm on the toilet, and then I knew about the thing afterwards, right? I knew about what he was going into, this kid. And I didn't know the outcome. So I don't want to assume, but I thought Sabatini was going to win, and only because I'm a little more familiar with him, and why would I not? You know, I thought, and I'm like, man, this guy lost his brother, and now this is not good. This is not now. I'm being honest. And then he won in that fashion. He gets on the floor, and then they go to his mother. Dude, I was doing, picture my bald head. I had my shirt off and I'm on the toilet. It's not a pretty look. It's not. Crying. Look, I'm getting upset thinking about it.
No aspect.
It's not a pretty look. It's a little misty in here. It was very touching.
Yeah, because I think his wife was.
It was very, very touching.
Yeah.
And it got me upset. And then I put the water on my face. I can't. I'm a husband in the phone. I can't go downstairs with all. Daddy, I can't. You know, it's upsetting. Yeah. It's not a good look. It's not a good look. Jimmy, you've seen that look up close.
Yes, I have.
So there's nothing funny about it, me crying. I'm waiting to see if he smiles, Schmo.
You put yourself together quite well for the show, though.
Thank you. I move on. But it was a touching scene. And listen, much respect. I could not – I mean, that was just – and then, I mean, no, he was holding – he must have been – he said he was just holding that in, like, the whole week. Yeah. And Damon Jackson, man, he answered the call 109 in the first round. And, you know, beautiful. Congratulations.
Yeah, beautiful.
You know?
Yeah. And to get a guy like Pat to verbally tap, you don't see that very well. That kick must have really damaged him. Maybe, I don't know if it did what the final tally is, if he broke anything, but that was a brutal kick to the face. So he just knew he was finished. And especially following. Preceding the Lewis, is it Cosi? Do I say his name correctly? Cosi against Trevin Giles, an action packed fight. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen so much action in a fight.
Well,
Cosi, that was a good one. Cosi, yeah, that was a good one.
Cosi didn't look a little too cozy in there.
That's one of the
ready. Listen, it's they can't all be out of the park.
No,
but I gotta take a swing.
That was a foul off your shin.
Fuck, like, that was like a
in the park.
That was like a ooh, it hurt my heart. But anyway, hey, how about this? I'll change my. He didn't look. He shot one takedown and fucking got it. How about this? No one was hurting with him. His fucking trigger finger. He wasn't pulling the trigger. Yeah. Got tears in my eyes.
No. You guys move fast, by the way. How did we get to Sabatini from Merab? Like I didn't even, the Schmo didn't even get to talk about how we saw Merab Dvalishvili last night at ABC. We caught up with him. We saw Merab. We asked him the question that we have on the show. He said, what's next for you, man?
We didn't know that. I'm sorry.
Spot in once in a while, Schmo.
You got to jump in. We're idiots.
It's all good.
You're a professional.
No, it's okay. So. Yes, but for Merab, though. wouldn't it be great if he fought Petr Yan if the stars aligned too? You know, go. We saw the two battles that his buddy, his best friend, his training partner, and Aljamain Sterling had with Petr Yan. You had the first one to defend him through all that, Imrov Dvalishvili. Wouldn't a Imrov and Petr Yan showdown be great? But again, we got to wait till UFC 280 because does that make sense? Does Corey Sandhagen make sense? We have these guys right here together at the top of the division. Let's see how it unfolds. But this all makes sense. Imrov wants that fight if it unfolds. That's the moral of the story.
Well, you raised an interesting point. Sorry, Matt. You raised a really interesting point about Sean O'Malley because he's so popular. It was almost like when Pajeda beat, what was it, Sean Strickland? That quick win, that was what the UFC wanted. Like, we'd love to give you a title shot, but you really got to earn it and do something spectacular. And he did. Really spectacular. So you're right. Maybe if O'Malley is able to beat him in spectacular fashion, I mean, he is the number one guy. You usually don't see a guy jumping. What is O'Malley 10? Am I wrong about that? I don't know if I want to say he's 10th. No, he's 13th.
13th, yeah.
Fighting the number one guy. Yeah, you're right. It's a charisma and the fact that people love him and will pay to watch him fight.
Well, he's also putting people away and he's fucking accurate.
He looks great. He looks great.
Kid's a star.
Yep.
You know? But I do like where you're coming from with that. And I think that would be a phenomenal, only because of the backstory too. And styles make fights. As far as Petr Yan versus Imrov, I think that'd be a rough matchup for Petr Yan, I feel. I mean, listen, Imrov, if you look at his career in the UFC, he literally could be undefeated. Look, I know there's the thing with the Simone thing. Oh, well, he was out. He wasn't out. The end of the bell. That's controversial. The fight with Frankie Saiz was downright not right. I mean, I like that guy. He guy's a nice guy. Imrov had like the fucking flu and took him down like a record breaking time at the time. I think he broke that record since, but you know what I mean? Like Imrov, I mean, listen, he's a unique fighter. His MMA wrestling is as high as it gets. Not straight up wrestling is great. His timing on his clinching and the worst matchup in that whole division. Oh, we should mention this also. The great Jose Aldo retiring.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
But the worst matchup in the division I felt was Jose Aldo because he's so hard to get down. And Imrov, you know, he won. He stuck to the game plan and he won. You know, so it's like after that, it's like, man, what are the obstacles can they throw that he can't answer? You know,
did Jose just have a son too?
Yes, yes. Congratulations to the great Jose Aldo on having a son. And he was very happy about that. And he retired. And what a career that he had. You know, he had an amazing career. One of the GOATs.
He'll box too. I think he wants to box. He loves boxing. So I'm guessing he's going to do that for a little bit.
Where do you guys stand on the greatest featherweight of all time conversation? Because a lot of people say it's Aldo. A lot of people say it's Max Holloway. Some people now say it's Volkanovski. Where do you guys stand on that?
Well, I mean, Volkanovski's, he's not even slowing down. His story's still being written. You know what I mean? Like, let's see who's stopping him. Let's see what happens let's see how far he goes. The guy, I mean, he's looking better and better. I'm done picking against that guy.
Yeah,
like, I know. I'm like, well, Max did this, I don't know why I doubt. I don't. It's not that I doubt him. I really love the guy. I think the guy's amazing. But
I think because of the first Max fight. I think because of the first or the second Max fight, like I think we looked at Volkanovski like, ah, man, that should have been Max's fight, and not saying that because I like Max. So it kind of puts it in your head, like, but then after fucking Ortega. After he got out of that strangling by Ortega, I'm like, it's impossible to get out of those. And he got out of it and he withstood it. As of this point, I would take Volkanovski. And it's hard to say because I love Max so much.
I may agree with you right there because, I mean, let's see again. He's looking better and better. He's never looked better than he's looking better than the previous fight, than the previous fight before that. So, man, I mean, let's see where he goes with this. It's fucking amazing.
And go back to 280, too, depending on what happens with Charles Oliveira and Islam Makhachev. Jeff, do you get Volkanovski challenging for the 155-pound strap next rather than defending against one of these 145-pounders? That's a great conversation to be had based off what we're going to see next month, October 22nd.
I don't give anybody an amazing shot who's going up and dealing with Oliveira or Makhachev. I just don't give anybody going up in weight. That's a tall order to fucking deal with one of those. Who do you think wins that fight?
Between Oliveira and Islam?
Charles, yeah.
Well, Matt, the Schmo actually caught up with your good buddy GSP earlier in the week. He was in town in Las Vegas. We asked him that exact question. We had him break down how he sees that going. And GSP brought up a really damn good point. Yes. You're going to know who's going to win this fight based off of the spacing of where it's going. If Islam brings this guy against the fence, if he dictates this thing and puts him against the fence, puts him on his back, the way he gets him down and the way he has that top control, it's unlike anything Oliveira's experienced. Then Islam gets the fight. But if Oliveira can cap the spacing to keep this thing towards the center of the octagon and do what he does best and do things that Islam hasn't seen before, don't be shocked if Charles Oliveira wins again, because we're already shocked when he already beat the Justin Gaethjes, when he already beat Dustin Poirier, how he beat Michael Chandler. We get that already. We've seen that effect. So don't be shocked if he wins again. But we're going to see right off the bat by where the spacing is, where this fight is, location-wise, inside the octagon, within the first minute, who's going to win this fight.
Mentioned how Oliveira is yet to feel anything on top like he's going to feel with Islam.
Yeah.
Has Islam been on top of anybody with the jiu-jitsu abilities of Oliveira? I'm going to say no, because I'm going to say there's not many people like that. And I'm thinking, the way he's talking, is he sleeping on his jiu-jitsu? Is it as simple as him getting him down? I don't know. I'll tell you right now, one slip up, he's going to be around that fucking neck. He's one of those jiu-jitsu guys where he's not just a one-trick pony. He's not like, yo, watch his guillotine. It's like, I watch his guillotine, his arm lock, his triangle. Watch out for his leg. Like, he's a really dangerous jiu-jitsu guy. So it's a try. I mean, so I it's not as simple as him just getting it to the floor. I think that he feels it is. And it might be. He might just get him, smush him up against there and get one of those fucking Dagestani fucking handcuffs or whatever, you're behind the back, and you know it could happen. But you gotta respect that jiu-jitsu. I mean, I'm telling you, he's not afraid of being on his back, and I'm sure he's gonna be setting up a lot of traps down there. So I want to see how that goes down there. Dude, I'm a fan of that. Let me see what happens on the floor with these guys.
100%. You know? But the Schmo does want to note, though, it wasn't Charles Oliveira's jiu-jitsu that put away Michael Chandler. He stopped him, the TKO and the punches. We saw how that first round unfolded with Chandler's wrestling. How does Chandler's wrestling compare to the Dagestan wrestling of Islam Makhachev? That's to be seen.
Well, I mean, but Chandler's wrestling didn't do any. He survived the back take.
Right.
But also he has no neck. I mean, compared to Islam. About, you know what I mean? Where they're just, he's more of a little tank, and he did nothing offensive with his wrestling either. It's not like he was on top of him beating him up. I'll tell you right now, people mention, well, look at Kevin Lee. Kevin Lee followed him down there, was doing fine with him. I disagree. I think he was fighting out of one thing to be putting another, and he's fucking, watch that fight again. That guy did shit down there. He was surviving. That's why when he got to his feet, he wasn't unloading. He was like, all right, fuck, I just survived a roller coaster of submissions, and now he's got fucking Oliveira in his face again. So I disagree. I think he was totally on the defense when he hit the floor. And, you know, yeah, you all right, you survived a bunch, but you did not. Charles Oliveira, he left that one clean. I don't think the guy landed a strike on him. You know, again, different. I'm sure he's a different grappler than, you know, Islam. But, you know, that's an important point, because other people made that point of him being down there doing well with them. I'm not sure if it was Habib or somebody. Somebody said that the other guy went down and said, hey, man, we should watch that again, because I don't know. You got to be happy about Andre Feely, you know? That was a close fight.
I didn't think it was a split decision. I thought he should have. I thought that should have been a unanimous decision, and so did Andre. He also felt the same way.
100%. 100%. The damage was there. And obviously the third round when he had his back, I know he was able to land strikes and everything like that. But I think the third round, no one's arguing there. But I just think the pressure that Andre Feely and the pace he kept on that fight and the damage inflicted, you know, all strikes aren't held equally here, fellas. We know what's different from each other. And I think Andre Feely, he definitely won that fight.
But Algio, I cannot remember a time where I've seen so many strikes from the bottom like that. I can't remember a time where I've seen a guy be that effective punching back over his head. And I don't know how much it hurt him, or if he was bloodied up just from prior strikes. But I was really impressed with that. And I can't remember a time I've seen a guy be that effective doing that. Usually guys are just kind of flailing to get you off them and it doesn't work.
True. But he was able to hold the leg lock. He was able to hold his legs together throughout all the Braja punchings, which was something I was taking note of too. So I don't think it was really inflicting that much damage. He just couldn't get, a hold of it. Like, he was really good at fighting the hands and he couldn't get the lock deep enough under the chin. He couldn't lock his hands together and he survived.
I also, Daniel Zellhuber was a big prospect. I think he was 12-0. Congratulations to Trey Ogden. It was interesting to watch. I always like when a new guy has to fight a guy who's kind of a veteran who's been around for a while, to see how the guy who's been around for a while handles this new guy. Like, I always think that a veteran has seen everything you can throw at him. So I always like it when a guy who's been around for years takes because the highest, I think he was the biggest, highest favorite on the entire card was Zellhuber. And that was a pretty decisive win for Ogden. So congratulations to Trey Ogden.
And I believe he was definitely the he wasn't the favorite. The other it was I think the kid was the favorite.
Daniel Zellhuber was the biggest favorite on the card.
Yeah, biggest favorite on the card, but you know what, man? The kid is 23 years old.
Yeah.
You know? You turn the numbers around, and then he's Trey Ogden now. But Ogden's 32, bro. I mean, that's a lot of experience in that 9 years. Like, you know, I think that's what it was. I think Daniel. How many fights was that in the UFC? That was his first fight.
I believe he was.
I mean, that's a big thing. 23 UFC, you know, Trey Ogden, you know, he'd been there before.
And he didn't look bad. He just wasn't like, again, you talk about pulling the trigger. He just seemed like he wasn't going. Maybe it was the moment that got to him a little bit. Or again, maybe a veteran who's just a better fighter than he's used to is just cutting him off in a way that he's not used to. Whatever it was, he didn't seem comfortable pulling the trigger. But when he did throw, he was really effective. When he did kick and throw, I mean, he was very effective. He just didn't do it enough.
I think he's a young kid. I think he's going to learn from it.
Yep.
And his coaches are going to say, look, this, that, and the other. I want to see his next fight. I do. Yeah. But listen, Aspen Ladd. Listen, I believe this is the third time she has missed weight in her UFC career. Aspen Ladd, put down the fork. Aspen Ladd, put down the spoon. Aspen Ladd, don't be a fatty. It's your career. Don't be a fatty. It's your career. Now, listen, it'd be very sexist if I did not attack her for love.
100%. Yeah.
I think it'd be wrong of me. If this was a dude, I'd be like, yo, Chubba. Chubba.
People were attacking Hamzat when.
Yeah, with the tiramisu.
He also had a doctor who did tell him to quit cutting, I believe. So, I mean, but people were all over Shamayev. So, yeah, I mean, you deserve it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant Habib. Fucking, they see the tiramisu or whatever. I don't know if Khamzat even likes tiramisu. But my point is this, Shmo. Aspen Ladd, you got a fight coming up. You missed weight not once, not twice, three times? Really? Really? Come on, man. What the fuck are you? What is going on? Where's your nutritionist?
If you're an opponent in the 135-pound bantamweight division and you're a female and you're booked to fight Aspen Ladd, you're just hesitant that you're even going to make it to fight day. You're hesitant that this fight's not going to get rebooked. There's going to be semantics where it goes up to 145 pounds. Listen, I like Aspen Ladd. The schmo has had nothing but great interactions with her, but this isn't professional now. This is what, the third time we're talking here? Like, enough's enough already. You're in the UFC. You've had ample time to get ready for this. This is your job. You get get paid to do this. Part of the job is setting up on scale and weighing 135 pounds. Hey. You have to respect the sport. You have to respect your profession. And enough's enough already. If you're the UFC, how do you trust this girl to do it again? And you just can't. I love Aspen Ladd. She's been great to the schmo. She's been a great fighter when she competes on weight. But enough's enough already, guys.
What? How much did she miss by? Was it three?
Yeah. I think it was like 138.5 or something. We can check on that. But, you know, look, it wasn't just like a clear thing. It wasn't like a half a pound off here. It was a few pounds at least.
And not for anything. What about poor Sarah McMahon? She's 41 years old. How many more camps does she have in her?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? You robbed her of her moment of fighting. You know, not you, Schmo. You didn't do anything. I'm happy you're here. Okay. Now you get Schmo, right where you had that. We came a long way.
Yeah, we've come a long way. We've come a long way.
When I first met you, I don't know about this guy. Now I laugh. If I seen you right now, I'd give you a big hug. Okay.
We appreciate that. We give you a kiss on the kepi, too.
Well, let's not. Don't kiss my head.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't Aspen Ladd 8.2? Now she's 9-3. So in the last four fights, she's 1-3. Am I correct in remembering that? I thought she was 8-0 once.
Listen, Aspen Ladd, you had your chance. You missed weight a couple of times. You had your chance to redeem yourself and have a nice fight, and you blew it! Okay. Anyway, guys, listen. I had to feel bad for Sarah McMahon. Listen, keep your head up. Let's get you another fight. It's not your fault, Aspen Ladd. You know, she likes the pudding a little bit.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
Oh, put the fork down, lad. She should just like she should watch the movie Easy Money. And then Easy Money, when he was trying to stay on the, they put a little thing in the refrigerator, it opened up, and go, "Hey, fatty, you want to say?" And Rodney Dangerfield's like, "Oh." Anyway, Schmo, we like to keep it light on the field.
I like Rodney Dangerfield. He's great.
He's fucking great.
He was,
Easy Money is such an underrated movie.
Hilarious movie with Pesci. Yeah, Joe Pesci's in that.
Luma. Look bone me.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I was free. I like her. I thought she was phenomenal. I thought she was tough as hell, man. And when Denise Gomes, when she got her down, dude, I mean, there was only one thing I didn't like, man. Don't lower your sword. Don't walk away when you let her up. Don't like,
she my God, was that a dumb move? She lets her up and walks away and gets grabbed.
That might have been a Muay Thai thing. That might have been in her head from, you're knocking somebody down, you're waiting for the ref. That might have been something in her brain where it almost cost it, though, because Gomes ran at her and just tried to tackle her. It's fucking great. But I'll tell you, Luma's 4-2 now in the UFC. But, for a striker, she wasn't losing her cool on the floor. And she is Thailand's first fighter to be signed. You know, I don't know if you know that. Anybody? Bueller? Mm-hmm. Bueller? The fuck am I talking to?
I know she does that wrestling defense with Hickman, with Frank Hickman. So I know she's been working on that with the wrestling there. But yeah, Thai striker, orthodox stance, 7-3 overall, 4-2 in the UFC, only 26 years young. Hey, look out for her. Look out for her.
Not to skip all over the place. Yeah, she. Listen, she answered the call. Nicholas Mota. I mean, he took out Cameron Van Camp, and dude, I mean, that was he didn't. I mean, I don't know. That was just a good fight in general. I thought he did phenomenal. And then when it was time to put him away, boy, did he put him away with that right or wrong? All that was missing when he was on the canvas was little birds above. He was just like, but it was like, hey, listen, I've been there. Tough day in the office is a tough day in the office, Schmo. Sure.
Yes, you know what I mean? Yes, it is.
You know, tough day for you. Maybe you asked the wrong question. It was a little awkward. Tough day for my back in the day with me in the office. You're getting your ass kicked in front of everybody you know. Javid Basharat, I'll tell you, Tony Gravely, that's the one with the headbutt, Jimmy.
Oh, was that the one? Okay.
Yes, that was the one with the headbutt. And he was like, fuck, man. And he kind of threw him off in the beginning. And he said he had two headbutts. And he's like, man, they're not even getting any points for this or nothing.
Is that the one that Keith told him, the ref? Is that the one that Keith told the judges? Sorry.
I don't remember that part, but I know he got headbutted. So I'm going to say this is the one, you know? But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But that was definitely a headbutt. But he pulled his stuff together by the end of round one. Because the beginning of round one, Tony Gravely was starting to put it together nice. And I think, who knows if that was because of the headbutt or not. It might have been. Headbutts aren't, you know, that shit could take its toll, you know. But Javid, you know, he started putting it together. From his spins to using his length, staying long, not tall. You don't want to be tall, Jimmy. You're tall, a big overhand to get you in the jaw. You know what I mean? But you want to be long. I shouldn't do that. I'm not long at all. At least not with my arms. I don't fucking know. Jimmy, how are you having a good time?
Rodrigo Nascimento over Tanner Boulder. That was a great fight. And the weight here they're giving is 259. And 255 for Boser. But wasn't Boser a lot lighter? Didn't he come in a lot lighter? I want to say 229, but I thought there was a 30-pound difference.
It was at least a 20, 25-pound weight difference. Could have been as high as 30, but you could definitely see who was the bigger man inside the octagon. And it wasn't Tanner.
When he was on top of him, I mean, Tanner was just in trouble. That was a great fight. And I'm looking forward to seeing Nascimento again. 9-1. He's 2-1 in the UFC.
Tanner was in there though. It's not like he was just
absolutely. He wasn't, but it just seemed like he was having a little bit of trouble.
It was that third round when Nascimento went on top of him. There's nothing he could do about it. Tanner couldn't get up.
Yeah, Tanner looked good though. He looked fast. He was punching well, but you know, that's just a lot of extra weight. That's a lot of weight to give away.
What about Joe Pyfer?
Joe Pyfer.
Yes!
Living up to the hype. The guy who
lives up to the hype.
Sets the tone for Contender Series this season, gets the first contract. Dana White makes the speech. It's a great season of Contender Series. Joe Pyfer continues the momentum, gets the job done. First round, knockout. Continues on. Joe Pyfer, baby. Give that guy the money.
Did you say momentum?
I did, yeah.
You slipped that in there, didn't you?
I like it.
A little sly mix. It was good. That was good. Yes, he did. He lived up to the hype. And man, that was brutal. They were talking about his story. Do you know about his story, Joe Schmo?
He was sleeping on a park bench. He had no money. I know he trains with Sean Brady. I saw that Petrowski's in his corner too, UFC middleweight, who was on the Ultimate Fighter. I believe he was on Ortega's team during the Ortega Volkanovski season. He's been in there. He's been getting some UFC victories. Trains over there on the East Coast. Joe Pyfer, baby, out of nowhere, has no money to his name. A dream for him. You know, he had a rough upbringing, rough childhood, and he had to figure things out. And look where he's at, man. He's exactly where he said he's going to be. Hard work pays off, and dreams come true. Joe Pyfer.
Schmo, how was your childhood? Nice?
It was okay. The Schmo can't complain. Grew up in the suburb of Chicago, Buffalo Grove, Illinois. Two parents there, sports fans. Watched the Jordan and Michael Jordan's Bulls in the 90s win championships. Chicago sports was fun. Competitive, went to a school with 6,000 kids in high school. You know, North Shore, Chicago. It's good times.
Schmo, I got a question for you, and I want you to be honest. And you're not going to hurt my feelings, certainly. But I'd like to know. Chicago deep dish or the like a New York slice? And then you're not going to hurt my feelings. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go somewhere with this.
All right. The Schmo can't sugarcoat it. It's Chicago deep dish all day. I'm sorry, Matt. I love your style pizza. Listen, New Haven's got great pizza. We've been to Sally's. We've had some really good pizza in our lifetime. We've been to Italy, but we're a little biased here. Chicago deep dish.
I'm not going to say I like it better, but I am going to say this. I do fucking love it. And my brother-in-law Pasquale used to send me some when it was like special occasion because he lived in Chicago. He'd get it like delivered somehow. But it'd be in a thing when I sit in. I'm like, oh.
Sends you pizza in the mail?
Why are you judging me?
No, it just seems like a very weird way to give pizza to somebody.
Well, it's giving love. It's what it's called. But listen to me. Near my house, Phil's Pizza, now they got a fucking Chicago pie, they call it. It's a deep dish. So I'm doing the right thing yesterday. I'm watching Abu Dhabi, and I'm hanging out, and, you know, let's order pizzas. I go, you know what? Cauliflower pizza. You know why?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, it's impressive.
Motherfucker! Yeah! You do a missing act from today's show.
Cauliflower pizza. Oh my gosh. Don't want to be in the same room as you, man.
What do you mean? Like my ass? Like,
yeah, dude, the gas out of that stuff.
No. I don't even eat cauliflower. You give me a, I don't even know what it looks like. You give me a piece of cauliflower, I'll throw it on the fucking wall. I don't want that shit. But it's like a thin crust pizza. Yeah. So I ordered that. And then they called back because they wanted to know what kind of meat sauce I want on the rigatoni. I got some rigatoni too. So they went, all right, man, Mr. Sarah. And they called me back. And then I remember. I go, oh, fuck. I go, you guys got that Chicago pie. I go, you know what? Throw one in for me. Do you need the card again? Yeah, you need the card again. Okay, I'll give you the card number again. It came a little bit later because I didn't want the other food to be cold.
Sure, you had to wait.
That deep dish pizza, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm from New York. Try the deep dish pizza. Jimmy, am I bored? Let's get back to that.
I'm on a diet, so I have not been eating pizza. So it's actually just I'm listening, but I can't contribute until, you know.
It's thick, Jimmy.
Yeah, no, I've had it. It's very good.
It's thick and girthy. Jimmy, all right, what do you guys want to talk about? We're done pretty much. Fuck. We talked about everything. Schmo, what is all going on with you? You're a busy motherfucker. Can't watch House of Dragon.
Trying to do everything and be everywhere. The Schmo just trying to keep afloat. There's something going on every single week. We're blessed with fights every single weekend. Yes. Obviously, we reside here in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. But there's so much going on.
Yes.
And I just try to stay on top of it all, you know, trying to stay busy. I mean, I don't have to try to stay busy. I'm always busy. There's always somebody to interview, Matt. You know what it's like. Come on.
The Schmo is doing something right. You know, listen, Schmo, let everybody know if they want to find your content, they want to see your interviews, they want to know more about the Schmo, where do they go to see the Schmo?
Follow the Schmo on social media at theschmo312.com. Check out the Schmo's YouTube channel at the Schmo, the guy with the yellow glasses like we're wearing right now. You can't miss him. Follow us there. Follow us on the interwaves. You Google the Schmo. Hopefully nothing too grotesque comes up, but you might find this guy. Follow us. We appreciate you all.
You know what? You get all the news, the MMA news, the sports news, but you do it with, it's fun. It's not even me. I don't even watch other sports, but you make it fun, Schmo. You make it fun.
I appreciate it. Life's too short, Matt. You got to have fun. Listen, you know how it is. Everyone's got a great personality. Everyone's got a great story in this great sport that we like to cover, that we like to participate in. Why not get it out there? And why not get it out there in an entertaining way? Be different. Dare to be different.
Yes. And Matt, Sarah BJJ, and Matt's on Cameo too. Should get a cameo from Matt, Sarah.
Jimmy's at Sirius right now, and he's got a foot literally out the door because he was there since 6 in the morning. You think he wants to hear me talking about fucking Chicago deep dish? When he
I don't mind that. I'm happy to hear that. I don't want to hear that because I'm hungry. Like, I'm not eating. So, like, that's why.
I got some leftovers. I'm going to go have that now. Guy, Jimmy, I'll see you in a couple of days. Schmo, thanks for hanging with us, bro.
Thanks I'll be for having us. Minneapolis this Friday, Saturday for anybody who wants at Acme Comedy Club. Schmo, great seeing you, buddy.
Great seeing you, Jimmy. Thanks, Matt. We'll do it again. Appreciate you, boys.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.